All right, we are getting really near the end of our series on faith. We've been in a summer series on faith, on courageous faith, and because it's summer, a good chunk of you either weren't here for any of it or missed half of it, because in Alberta, summertime, we just try to go places. And so if you've missed a message, or you think, man, I'd like to hear that one again, or I want to catch up, you can go to mountolivefc.com and just look at the sermon series page, and the entire series is there for you to check out. We've been in a summer series on faith and courageous faith, looking at heroes from the past, and we've been in Hebrews chapter 11, which is, Hebrews is a book near the end of your Bible, and chapter 11 of Hebrews is near the end of that little book, and we've been, often it's been called the Hall of Fame for people of faith, or, you know, this chapter of great faith for people. And actually, that idea of this Hall of Fame for faith, or this is courageous faith, or it kind of gives most of us the sense that this is probably faith that is beyond me. It's not for ordinary people like me, because I just don't have great faith, and I could never make the Hall of Fame for people of faith. And that's actually the opposite of what the writer of Hebrews is trying to, it's unfortunate we call it the Hall of Fame for faith, because it's not what the writer of Hebrews wants his readers to understand, that there's this faith, and it's beyond your grasp, and you'll never have faith like this. What he wants us to understand is these are regular people, unspectacular people, that simply lived their faith out in God, and sometimes God did spectacular things, but sometimes it was just mundane things. It was unspectacular, and these weren't, you know, wowing type people. I mean, they were like nomads and farmers. Nothing special about a farm. I mean, farmers are special, but, you know, there's nothing, you know, spectacular. They're just normal people. You know, we would call them like, you know, workers, you know, construction guys or teachers or professors, just normal people like you and I. And yet they lived their faith in spectacular ways because they just continued to trust God. And the writer of Hebrews just goes after example from the Old Testament, which was hundreds of years ago, after example of people who lived out their faith. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, the way he starts this whole kind of thing on faith is he defines faith for us. And he says, this is faith. Faith is this. This is how it plays out in our lives. It's confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't yet see. That's faith. Confidence in what you hope for. And we understand hope. Hope is this destination. It's this reality, this experience that isn't presently here, but we long for. It's future-based. We hope for something we don't currently have. Faith is the confidence that gets us to our hope. I said this earlier in the series. If hope is the destination of what we wish was, faith are the legs that get us to our hope. Faith keep us going. It's that confidence that we're going to keep believing and keep having that faith. So in that sense, faith lives a reality in the present that can't be presently seen. Faith lives something now that even though I can't see it with my physical eyes now, because by the eyes of faith, I see that reality. And we see this all throughout the examples that the writer of Hebrews gives us. Now, he kind of goes chronologically in the Old Testament. If you read Genesis to, you know, Judges, you would read the stories that he references. He starts with Abel, the child of Adam and Eve, and he says, by faith, he looked beyond the present. He said, God is greater than, and I can give him my best. He's a God who provides, and he deserves my best. And so he gave the best, the first fruits of what he had, and his offering was accepted by God. We looked at Enoch, who walked with God and was no more. We looked at Noah, whose faith looked beyond the present circumstance. And he trusted in God when God said, I'm going to flood the earth. And everyone was said, there's never been even a like regional flood on the earth. What are the chances the whole earth is going to flood? But through the eyes of faith, he saw something beyond. And his hope was to be saved. And his faith brought him to his salvation. He was saved because he trusted in the God who was greater than, who said, I'm going to flood the earth. Abraham believed in a home that was beyond the home on this earth. God had promised him a promised land on the earth. But interestingly, the writer of Hebrews says Abraham wasn't looking for the earthly home. He was actually looking for a heavenly home. So he found the promised land on earth, but he didn't say, ha-ha, this is where I'm going to set all of my hopes and dreams. He looked beyond the current through the eyes of faith, and he hoped for that eternal home where there is no death. And he lived by faith. He also lived by faith when God said, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac Isaac was his only son, the son through whom God had already promised, through Isaac, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you lots of descendants. Well, why would he kill his only son? Well, the reason was because he trusted by faith that God could raise Isaac from the dead. And of course, it was just a test. God didn't actually want him to kill Isaac. Joseph, a writer of Hebrews references Joseph. And Joseph, his faith, looking beyond the present, played out by being endlessly obedient. In mundane things and things nobody noticed and nobody cared about, when even living in obedience to God got him in trouble, like being thrown in prison, he continued to be endlessly obedient because through the eyes of faith, he saw beyond his current circumstance. And he followed God. Last week, we looked at Moses. And the writer of Hebrews starts not with Moses, but with Moses' parents. And Moses' parents, they were under this edict that any Hebrew boy that was born should be thrown into the Nile. And the writer of Hebrews says, they did not fear the king of the most powerful empire that time, the Pharaoh of Egypt. They did not fear the king. I'm sure they were afraid, but as we saw last week, faith and fear are always vying for center stage in our life. And instead of living by fear of the king's edict, they lived by faith that God had a plan for Moses. And they hid him, which put them in peril, because if Pharaoh found out that they were hiding this child, they would be in trouble. And yet they lived by faith. They looked beyond their current circumstance. And then Moses, when he grew up, he didn't just say, well, my parents had faith, surely I'm good. No, he made faith his own. And instead of growing up, he grew up in the Egyptian court. Pharaoh's daughter took him in, and so he grew up in the palace. But instead of having the comforts of the Egyptian, the earthly comforts of growing up in an Egyptian palace, he gave that up and sided with the Hebrews. And then Pharaoh tried to kill him, and out of fear, he ran away, and he ran to safety in Midian. So there's a little bit of the background of where we've come from. But interestingly enough, there's a background that the writer of Hebrews, the audience he's writing to, they have something going on, and he's trying to address it. And some of the things that have been happening to the people that first read this letter, the letter of Hebrews, is they have undergone persecution. Some of them have lost all their property. They've lost their homes. It's been confiscated. Some of the Christians have been thrown in prison. They are facing persecution. And what's happened is they faced persecution a number of years earlier. They came through it, and now they're facing the second wave of persecution. And some of them are saying, what's the point of faith? What's the point of believing in God? I did it God's way, and God didn't make my life any easier. And some in the church have actually walked away from the faith. They've left it altogether. And the writer of Hebrews, he says, listen, keep believing and keep having faith, and I'll write Hebrews chapter 11 just for you to encourage you to keep with the faith. But interestingly enough, to write to these people in crisis who are facing death, he does not start with Hebrews chapter 11. He starts with Hebrews chapter 1. And if you read Hebrews chapter 1 to Hebrews chapter 10, all the things leading up to faith, he doesn't talk about faith. He talks about one thing over and over and over. His tactic to speak to people in crisis is this: Jesus. Jesus is superior. Jesus is sufficient. Jesus is greater than anything you face. He says Jesus is greater than the angels. Jesus is greater than the high priest. He's greater than Moses, the greatest prophet. Jesus is greater, and he brings a greater covenant than the old covenant. Jesus is a greater sacrifice, because we used to sacrifice for our sin, but Jesus is a once and for all sacrifice. Jesus brings about a new Sabbath rest that's greater than the old Sabbath. Jesus is greater and superior and more sufficient than anything you can think of. The point that he brings over and over and over again to suffering people in crisis is this: Jesus is greater than fill in the blank. Doesn't matter what you face, Jesus is greater than. Jesus is greater than the death you face. Jesus is greater than the crisis you are currently in, whether it's a health crisis, a family crisis, an injustice in your life, a marital crisis, or a financial crisis. Jesus is greater than. Would you walk by faith? Jesus is greater than the failures that define you. He's greater than the guilt you're drowning in this morning. Jesus is greater than the past you wish you could erase. He's greater than the roadblock in front of you. Jesus is greater than the despair you are currently sinking in. He's greater than. He's greater than your problems. He's greater than your struggle. He's greater than the fear that locks your feet in and keeps you from moving. But Jesus is not just greater than your problems. He's greater than your greatest effort to be made right with God. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you will always come short of God, but Jesus is greater than your greatest efforts. And through Jesus, you can be made right with God. His tactic is this: Jesus is greater than. And because Jesus is greater than, I'm going to write to you Hebrews chapter 11. So look beyond your current circumstance. Look beyond your current crisis. You have a God who saves. And the entire point of the message is this: faith saves. Faith in the God who is greater than saves. Not saved, but continues to save. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and he's going to kind of point this aspect of faith through the entire nation of Israel. We're going to see this idea that faith saves, but also through an individual who is not part of the people of Israel, interestingly enough. Hebrews chapter 11, we're starting in verse 28. Because we're starting in 28, we ended with 27 last week, and that was the faith that Moses displayed. And just to kind of catch you up on the story, if you don't remember, but Moses, he came to, after he fled from Pharaoh because Pharaoh wanted to kill him, he fled to Midian and he spent 40 years as a sheep herder. God came to him in a burning bush and said, I want you to go back to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, over the most powerful empire in the world. And I want you to say to Pharaoh, let my people go, which are the Hebrew slaves you're currently over. I want you to go to him and say, let my people go. And Moses, of course, says no, because he's filled with fear, and fear takes over his faith. But then God finally convinces Moses, and Moses goes to Pharaoh. Now, if you're, leading the charge of a bunch of slaves to the most powerful man in the world saying, let my people go, it's probably going to need a little persuasion to convince him to actually let the people go. And Pharaoh needed some persuasion. And the persuasion that ended up helping convince Pharaoh was 10 plagues or 10 curses that came upon the nation of Egypt. And they were things like darkness covered the earth and all their cattle died and locusts came and ate all their crops. And so their entire economy, the most powerful nation in the world, their entire economy was decimated. The Nile turned to blood, all sorts of things that happened, these 10 curses. But after each curse, Pharaoh continued to refuse, to refuse, to refuse until the last plague. And the last plague was a unique one. The last plague was the angel of death was going to come. And it was going to bring death to the firstborn of every household. And God had warned Moses, and he had said, listen, this is for anyone, Egyptian, Hebrew, Israeli, doesn't matter. Anyone who takes a lamb's blood and puts it over the door frames and posts of their house, when the angel of death comes, it will see the blood and it will pass over that home and you will be saved. Now, interestingly, the Jewish people still celebrate this every year. Passover those houses. Like we celebrate Christmas, they continue to remember what God did in saving their children and also setting them free from the land of Egypt. Now, no one had ever heard of an angel of death coming. This would take faith to believe that there was actually this blood thing. What would that do, and why is that important? It would take faith, and the writer of Hebrews starts just by that. He says, by faith he, Moses, but by faith not just Moses, all the Israelites who did this, by faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. That those who would follow by faith, trusting God at his word, they would be saved. But what we also see is that those who chose not to place their faith in God, the Egyptians, would not be saved. Faith saves, but a lack of faith also results in a destination. Faith has the ability to save, and a lack of faith has the ability to destroy. And we see this next as well. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. After Moses and the Israelites, after the death of the firstborn, including Pharaoh's firstborn child, he said, you may go. And they went to the Red Sea, but when they got to the Red Sea, they faced a roadblock. which, you know, you could camp out at the sea, maybe make a bit of a home until you find a way around. But what ended up happening, Pharaoh changed his mind, and he chased the Jewish people down with his army. And now they're facing a roadblock in front of them and death behind them. And it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. By faith the sea split and they were saved. But interestingly, when you read the story in Exodus chapter 14, they didn't have really like a commendable amount of faith. Here's how the story goes in Exodus 14. As Pharaoh approached and his army approached, the Israelites looked up and there were the Egyptians marching against them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Not like, hey, we have faith. They're just like scared. It's not a great example of shining faith. But here's what this shows. They were terrified, but what did they do? They cried out to the Lord. See, I've told you this before. Faith and doubt coexist. And when faith and doubt coexist, one will vie for priority over the other. And although they had a lot of doubt, they still cried out to the Lord. And I've said this before as well. The amount of faith that you have is not most important. Where you place your faith and if you act on it is most important. The object and action of faith are more important than the amount you possess. So if you think, I just don't have very much faith, place the little faith you have in the God who saves and you will be saved. Moses shows us this. And the people were terrified. They had little faith. And then they said to Moses, they showed their doubt. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. We're happy in our misery. At least we know we have misery in our future. They would not walk beyond. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. But Moses keeps pulling on them. It says, walk by faith. God has something more for you. So Moses answered the people. He said, don't be afraid. Fear and faith, they're vying for center stage. Don't be afraid. Allow yourselves to live by faith. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance, the salvation the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Which doesn't mean don't move. What it means is stand in the strength of God. Be still. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't become anxious. Don't try to find and solve the situation. Stand in the strength of God. Be still does not mean don't move, because here's what the very next verse says. He says, be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites, move on. Be still and move on. Be still, stand in the strength of your good heavenly Father, and move on. Go when he says go. Go in his way. Stand in God's strength, and go in God's way. That is faith. The faith that saves is stand in God's strength. See, many of us, when we face a crisis, we do all sorts of things on our own strength to try and solve our crisis. And God says, be still, trust my strength, and then move in my way. And that's why the writer of Hebrews could write, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Now here's something I thought about. Well, didn't the Egyptians display some faith too? I mean, the Israelites, they walked through the Red Sea and that was by faith and they trusted the sea wouldn't crash in on them, that God was strong. Didn't the Egyptians display some faith because they also tried to walk through the Red Sea? Why was it that they were drowned? Here's why. Because they did not place their faith in God's strength or in God's way. They were coming to try to undo what God had already willed, the freeing of his people. If they would have trusted God, they would have been saved as well. But they refused to trust God. They refused to go God's way. And because they refused to go God's way, it did not save them. Rather, it was the opposite. It destroyed them. Now what we see is this. Faith in the God who is greater than is a faith that saves. It's a faith that saves every single time. Well, from the Red Sea, the people went into the desert and they were supposed to go to the Promised Land. But the writer of Hebrews jumps over that entire generation because that generation would cease to put their faith in the God who saves. And God would say, you will all die in the desert. You will not see the Promised Land because of your lack of faith in the God who saves. And so the writer of Hebrews jumps over that generation and he jumps to the next generation and he sees how they showed their faith in the God who saves. And he writes this, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. Now, if you don't know the story, as it went, that whole generation of Israelites died, and the new generation came, and as they came to the Jordan River, they came from east of the Jordan, they had to fight some battles, and they fought against the Amorites, and they had some success, and they killed the king of Og and Zihon, I think, and they came to the Jordan River, and they crossed the Jordan River to where the Promised Land was, and one of the first cities that when you cross the Jordan River from east to west that you run into is the city of Jericho. And this was not like no city they had ever come across. This was a fortified city. They were stronger than the people on the east side of the Jordan. And they had already had some success around the on the other side of the Jordan in conventional kind of battle. You know, you grab a sword and a shield and you go and battle it out. They had had success. But as they get to this great, you know, their greatest roadblock, the most strong and powerful city they'd come across, God says, put your swords away. What? We've had success with our swords. I want you to do it my way and in my strength. And he said, I want you to walk around the city once each day for 6 days. Well, that's kind of strange. And then on the seventh day, I want you to walk around the city 7 times. And at the end, the walls, the roadblock in front of you will come crumbling down. But you're going to have to trust me. Duh. Because that takes a lot of faith to walk around a city and say, I hope it falls soon. But they trusted God. And they walked around that city, and when it came down, it fell, and the roadblock was removed. Because faith in the God who's greater than saves. But here's what's interesting. Someone was on the inside. Someone who was not part of their people, part of the condemned people, the unbelieving people of the Canaanites. But God would save one of them and her family as well. And that's what the writer of Hebrews looks at next. He says, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, who was in that city of Jericho, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. That word disobedient can also be translated unbelieving. Because she welcomed the spies, and she believed. She was with those who were obedient. She set her faith in the God who saves. Which tells me this. The whole city could have been saved. The whole city could have been saved. It was only those who were unbelieving, who were disobedient, who perished. Even someone on the inside, someone like Rahab, and it's interesting, the writer of Hebrews just, the writers of Scripture always kind of point out all the negative things about characters. You can see how he just points out the negative. He doesn't just say Rahab. Everyone knows she's a prostitute. He has to say the prostitute Rahab. I mean, this was no Mother Teresa. This was a condemned Gentile, someone God was going to come and destroy their city. She was on the outside. She was a woman in that culture, bottom of the totem pole. She had nothing in her that would bring about salvation. Not goodness, not righteousness. She was among the condemned people. And yet when she placed her faith in the God who saves, even when she was on the wrong side, and she did it when the Israelites were scoping out the land before they knew God would tell them to walk around the city. They scoped out Jericho. They sent spies to see how strong the walls were and how strong the people were. She took the spies in, and she put herself in a place of difficulty, because if she was found out, you know, hiding out the spies, she would be killed. She put herself in that position because she put her faith in the God who is greater than. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 to 13, it tells us the story of Rahab's faith. And it says the spies came and she takes them in. She hides them from her own people. And she says, listen, we've heard about your God. I don't even know him, but I've heard about him. We've heard how he split the Red Sea and he destroyed the Egyptians. They're the most powerful empire in the world. We've heard about how your God has given you power over the king of the Amorites. And our whole city is trembling with fear. But as the city trembled with fear, Rahab chose faith over fear. And she put her faith in the God who is greater than. And she, among the entire city, even though she was on the wrong side, was saved. Here's the deal. It doesn't matter what you think disqualifies you from salvation, what you think disqualifies you from God. There is nothing greater than God, and nothing can disqualify you from salvation with God. In fact, there is only one disqualifier that keeps you from God. Not putting your faith in him. It's the only disqualifier. You choosing to not place your faith in the God who saves. He already saves. Your greatest works can't get you right with God. Your greatest abilities, your greatest knowledge won't make you right with God. God is greater than. Only through Jesus can you be made right with God. But likewise, whatever you think disqualifies you, your greatest sin, your greatest regret, your greatest shame, your greatest crisis does not disqualify you. If Rahab, a prostitute Gentile woman on the wrong side of the army, can be saved, anyone can be saved. And the writer of Hebrews writes this to show us faith saves. Faith in the God who is greater than saves. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says this about our role, the role of faith in salvation. It says, it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this isn't from yourselves. It's not something you can earn, you can make up before God. It's a gift that he gives so that you can't even boast about your own salvation. You simply say, I received it by faith. None of the Israelites would have boasted about their salvation from Egypt. They would have said, wow, look at God. He did it. We just walked by faith. We just responded to what he said. Rahab would have never said, wow, look at what I did. I was a nobody on the wrong side, and yet God in his grace saved me. I simply received it through the hands of faith. You know, the good news that Jesus brings is this. Your salvation awaits you. It's already here. Would you receive it by faith? Would you receive what he's already done for you through Jesus Christ and receive it by faith? Would you receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord? And here's the deal. Coming to Jesus will not make your life easier. In fact, we see that. As the Hebrews walked by faith, specifically Rahab, as she put her faith in God, it meant taking on risk. It meant putting her own life in peril. It was a faith that looked beyond to the salvation that would come rather than immediacy of ease. And as we follow Jesus, sometimes our life immediately becomes difficult. And as Moses had to walk by faith, we start walking upstream to the flow of the world. Because following Jesus and walking by faith is not always easy now. But here's what you are guaranteed. You're guaranteed salvation. Guaranteed salvation, and it may come later. He's a God who saves now, and he will continue to save. You know, one of the things I realized as I was reading all these little snippets of the God who saves in these stories is often it takes a crisis to believe. Often it takes a crisis to believe. You know, the Israelites faced the angel of death, and they chose faith. They were saved. They faced a sea in front of them and their death behind them when the Egyptians were coming after them. And in that moment of crisis, they put their faith in the God who saves, and they were saved. Rahab faced the destruction of her own city. And by faith, in that crisis, by faith, she was saved. Sometimes it takes a crisis to believe. I don't know what you face today. What's your crisis today? Maybe it's an addiction, a sin, a failure, a guilt, a shame regarding something. Instead of living in fear and giving up or trying your own methods, would you place yourself and place your faith in the God who saves and continues to save? And if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, would you consider placing your faith in the one who saves and put your faith in him? You know, I want to remind you all as how I started. Jesus is greater than the death you face. He's greater than the crisis you're currently in, whether it's a health crisis, a family relational crisis, a marital crisis, a financial crisis. He's greater than the injustice you currently face. Jesus is greater than the failures that you define yourself by. He's greater than the guilt you're drowning in. He's greater than the past you wish you could erase. Jesus is greater than the roadblock in front of you, and he's greater than the despair you're currently sinking in. Jesus is greater than any problem you face and anything you struggle with. He's greater than the fear that locks your feet in. Jesus is greater than the death that hunts you down. Jesus is greater than. And he's greater than any attempt you would make to make yourself right with God. I don't know what crisis you face. And by your physical eyes, you're saying, it's time to give up. But the writer of Hebrews, as he wrote to the people, he says, listen, you're facing persecution. Some of you are walking away from the faith. Jesus is greater than. Look through the eyes of faith and see beyond your circumstance and put your faith in the God who is greater than.